Hello, everyone, and good afternoon. And thank you all for joining us here at Highland Heights Conference Call Worship Service. And I'm certainly thankful for another opportunity to proclaim the Word of God and thankful for another day at life, yet again. Amen. And another opportunity to feed ourselves. Another word of God. And I'm sure, or I hope, that you had a great lunch this afternoon or something to snack on, and you're probably looking forward to dinner already. I know I am, and I think my sermon title earlier today, The Taste and See, kind of put that on my mind. But for now, as we get into another taste of the Word of God, I want to take a moment to thank those who served thus far in our worship service, and appreciate Brother Floyd Smith for his Bible study lesson on this morning. Really thankful for that message, and I've always appreciated his teaching. One of the first lessons I heard from him out of Ecclesiastes, some years ago, he mentioned he was in that book talking, teaching about there's a time for everything. There's a season, time to weep, time to cry, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the point that he made that nowhere that we could see in that scripture that there was a time to sin or play with God, and that has stuck with me ever since then. And I'd like to take a moment to welcome any visitors who may be on the call this afternoon. And as usual, it is my prayer that something will be said that will challenge your current beliefs and ask the question that will lead you to salvation and render obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel is a story that we can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 of how Jesus died for you and me, and was buried in a borrowed tomb and rose again the third day. He had you and I in mind because he knew we would need a redeemer. While we were dead to sin, we must render obedience in baptism to be buried with him in baptism and contact that blood that not only can wash you away your sins, but purchase his church, Acts 20 and 28. And that same blood does wash away your sins and give you a chance at a new life, Revelation 1:5 and Romans 6:3-5. We are buried with him in baptism, and as we rise and as he rose, we can walk in newness of life. Then God adds us to that church by that obedience, Acts 2 and verse 47. We can't join his church. It is only by obedience that God would add us. And it is not until then that we can call ourselves a Christian, and we must follow the teaching of Christ and the taste of his righteousness. For a few moments, I will go into the passages of scripture in Hebrews, also known as the book of faith, rather. That's Hebrews chapter 11, but the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, is where I'll be coming from. But first, let's understand that at the conclusion of chapter 2, we know that we see that Jesus is the reconciliation for the sins of the people. And in chapter 2, verse 14, we see that Jesus was just as us in the flesh. But through his death, the scripture says he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. And see, we needed Jesus, and God knew that, because without him, the devil has his way of leading us to spiritual death and separation from God. And chapter 2, it concludes that Jesus is the reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus is that reconciliation or that reunion back to God. that we need. And in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it reads, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ." And see, here again, we see that we are partakers with Jesus through his reconciliation. And see, we can refer to him as our big brother through that reconciliation and become a family member of God. And see, who is he this reference to? When he says to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, who is this reference to? And he tells us, Christ. And see, the word apostle here means follower or messenger, someone sent with authority. See, this was by the authority of God. See, God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, which was part of the plan. And have y'all seen that movie King Richard about Serena Williams and tennis? I know once we saw that movie, a lot of kids would walk around saying, "Hey, stick to the plan, stick to the plan." But see, her dad would always say, "Stick to the plan." And I'm here to tell you today that we have to stick to God's plan. And let's keep that in our heart. And see, here the high priest is so Jesus was referenced as this apostle that someone sent him, the authority of God the Father sent his son as a part of this plan, and this high priest was the reference for the reconciliation or the atonement of our sins. Because we needed a redeemer, we needed a way to be reconciled back to God, giving us a chance to be partakers with him. So Hebrews writer is saying here that, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." And see, Christ was faithful to him that appointed him, which was God. And we also know and learn of the faithfulness of Moses as well. And in verse 3, it reads, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." And see, as I pause for a moment here, the scripture is saying that this man was counted more worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house have more honor than the house. See, sometimes, and the application to us here is that sometimes we too often get distracted by our marvel over quote unquote the house. But see, the true credit belongs to the builder who executed the plan and construction. So, who built the church? Christ did. He purchased it. And he should get the praise and honor always for the sacrifice to reconcile a body of believers. He should get the glory always. And in verse 4, it says, "For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God." And I'm reminded of Matthew 16:18 when Jesus said, "And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So this church, y'all, is where we have the victory, because nothing will prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I'll get back to that in a moment. But as we go to Hebrews 3 and verse 5, it continues with, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. And who was this? But Christ as a son over his house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. And see, Jesus is faithful to us. And the scripture here is saying that we must hold fast to his will. We must hold fast to Jesus and our confidence to be a part of the house that he built, which was his church. And my question to you is, will we prioritize him today? Will we be faithful to him as he was compassionate towards us, giving up the riches of heaven for you and for me? But instead we live this life the way that we want to live, and instead of him being our priority, he becomes secondary, or maybe out of routine. But maybe it's just me, and that's not you, right? But my motive and my objective here today is to challenge your way of thinking and get you to examine yourself and think about your life and where truly is God, and where do you prioritize him daily? And I once heard someone say that people or Christians often use God like a genie in a bottle with wishful thinking or a request, or only going to him when something is wrong. And what is my message to you today? Hebrews 3:7, the scripture says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice. So my question to you, will you hear his voice today? He says, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart, as in a provocation, as in being angry. Don't take what I'm saying, make you angry when I speak about the oneness of the church, the one true church. He says, listen to me. Do not harden your heart and turn from me. I know this life can get tough. But we'll see in verse 13, he tells us how we can get through it. And see, the word says to exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. Sin hardens our heart. It separates us from God. And if we're not careful, we can drift so far away. So that's why we must examine ourselves daily. In verse 14, another reminder, he says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. And he repeats verse 8 and verse 15. He says, and while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So, brothers and sisters, friends and families, we need to get serious about our spiritual walk daily. We shouldn't go back to acting ungodly. Colossians 3:1-2 says, to set your affection on things above. And as you heard me say before, stay fogged up. F-O-G. Stay focused on God. And Jesus said in John 14:6, he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We got to get through Jesus. We have to go through Jesus to get to the Father. We need him to get to the Father. Well, I know I do. And Colossians 1:14 tells us, We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. But we got a choice. And Paul reminded us in Romans 6:15-16, know ye not to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey? Ye servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience to righteousness. See, you have to know where you are to get where you're going. And we must be true to ourselves and examine ourselves daily. And sometimes that means we have to take some things off. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 20, the scripture reads, but ye have not so learned Christ? Have you not learned what it means to be a Christian and how to live a life in the image of Christ? He says, but have ye not so learned Christ? If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. So if you've heard this and you've been taught this as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the formal conversation, the old man. See, we got to take off the old man. We don't talk like we used to. We don't do the things that we used to. Why would we revert back to that? Because the scripture says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It's the lust. But rather, what should we do? We have to take some things off to put something new on. You don't want to just keep walking around in dirty clothes. But we have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. God looks at the heart of man. We have to renew our mind. And then once the mind is renewed, in verse 24, Ephesians 4, 24, that ye put on the new man. See, then we can put on the new man when that mind is renewed. And that's after you confess your faults or confess your sins, or that's after you've rendered obedience to Christ in baptism. And see, and you put on the new man, which is with after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, the new man is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And see, remember, it is our Creator. When we put on that new man, which is created by God, which is created after God in his righteousness, it is the Creator at that point. And always, that should influence our behavior to show our love back. Because remember, it's the builder, not the house. We so often get caught up in marveling. So here, it's the creator, not the creature, or the living being. It ain't us. It ain't about us, folks. It's about the one who paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. It's about God loving us so much that he sent his only begotten son, his only son. And his son loved us enough to die for our sins. And yet he prayed. He prayed for the strangers on the cross as they were killing him next to him. He prayed for the people that was killing him, that put him up there. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why is it so hard to follow our Lord and Savior that laid down his life for you and for me? For temporary, earthly, selfish, desires and lusts. But if we examine ourselves daily, we can fall in love with him over and over and over again. And as I close, brothers and sisters, when God becomes our priority and focal point, we would have no issues thinking on the things that we learn in Philippians 4 and 8. He says, think of these things. Think of these things that's honest, that's pure, that's love, and of good report. But we have to hear, receive, and learn. And when we put it into practice, then others can learn from you. And you may be on the call today. And if you are not a Christian, you can become a Christian today by rendering obedience to the gospel. And that's the story of how Jesus died for you, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose again the third day. And realizing that you've been entrapped and distracted by a world of sin, separated from God, and you need that reconciliation. And the Lord is calling you today. He's saying, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart, turn from your ways, repent for your sin, confess your faults, become a member of the Church of Christ. Restore your membership. Restore your relationship with God and Christ, where others can see him in you by the way that you serve and by the way that you live and by the way that you talk. You have an opportunity to restore that relationship with him today. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard that gospel. Do you believe it? Do you believe he died for you, was buried, and rose again? Do you believe you've been separated or living a life of sin? You must be baptized or confess your faults. Baptized for the remission of your sins, and rise and walk in the newness of life, where the blood will cleanse you. He says, you have to believe that. Hebrews 11:6, without faith is impossible. You must repent, Luke 13:3. Except you repent, you all likewise perish. And you must make the confession, as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you must be baptized, Acts 2:38. And as Mark 16:15-16, if they believe it, you baptize them. If not, they should be down. And upon that obedience, you will be added to his church. The Lord will add you. Acts 2:47. And if you are subject to the Savior's invitation today, you have an opportunity to render your life and render obedience to him. And as in Philippians 4:9 concludes, and the peace, and the God of peace shall be with you. You have an opportunity to come now as we sing a song of invitation.